You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, Pack_Daddy. Well. You crazy, crazy dogs. I don't know how in one day I can summarize yesterday. I don't know that it's super possible. So considering we've got, first of all, we got more of this that's coming. And there's not a lot of time today. I don't think it would be prudent to do a deep dive. I think today is, let's get caught up with all the madness, briefly skim over it, and then we'll just kind of keep doing that. And then, because we got a lot of time coming up in the near future of dead time, you know, we'll start digging a little deeper. But right now, we're just going to skim across this because this is why this time of year is amazing. Granted, I'm not super thrilled with how certain things are going, and we'll talk about all that. Some good, some bad, etc., etc. But you got to just love this time of year. There was a time when free agency was like one big thing would happen. Literally every year over the last, I want to say about 4 years, it has gotten crazier and crazier to the point where I think we're beyond fantasy football now. I used to say we're becoming fantasy football. I think we're past that now because some of these trades and whatnot would never even happen in fantasy football. Your idiot friend that doesn't even watch football that you goaded in, you know, the guy from work that doesn't watch football, but you need one more guy in your league and you're like, come on, Randy, get in the league, man. Doesn't matter. You just pick people, and he ends up winning the league, and you're really upset, and everybody hates you for inviting Randy. Even that guy would look at these trades and go, I don't know, seems a little stupid. Am I wrong? Am I missing something here? I feel like I shouldn't do that trade. But it's a beautiful time of year when basically all the players get pushed into the middle of a pile and everyone just starts plucking them out. Like, oh, I'll take a little bit of this and a little of that and you can have my quarterback. Here's Rodgers and Devontae. You give me, you know, I don't know. I mean, we're not to that point yet, but, you know, maybe in a few years. Not saying I want that, but, you know, that's where we're headed. So it's a beautiful time of year. And, again, I don't know if one podcast is enough time to cover it. So we'll just kind of start with the NFC North. I'll try not to rant too much, and then we'll go through everything else, everything-ish. So I think the plan will be we'll go through the NFC North, we'll go through the teams that we face in 2020, and then we'll just start running, just speed round, just ba-da-da-da, right? That was a machine gun, also speed round, synonymous. They're synonyms, same thing. Zero difference between the two. If you wouldn't mind joining the Packernet Podcast Facebook group, that'd be fantasticals. Like the Packernet Podcast Facebook page. I don't do anything with it, but, you know, someday I might, and I would like for there to be a lot of people that like that page so that when crazy stuff happens, when amazing things happen with that page, thousands, billions, maybe, I don't know. Just it'd be nice to have a firm foundation is all I'm saying. Sometimes I use it, you know. You probably find out news about, 4 seconds faster. Because I'll post to the Facebook group the page first, and then I'll share it to the group. So if you're into lightning-fast news, there you go. What else? What do I usually say? Five-star iTunes review. Great way to let the people know as they're searching through. What's a good podcast? What should I do? Oh, here's one with a billion reviews, all really positive. Let's check that one out. That'd be great. Let the people know. I would say word of mouth, but you're going to have to do the old school picking up the phone and calling your friends, because you're not allowed to go to your friend's house and tell them about the show anymore. So if you wouldn't mind working the phones for me, that would be a great way to help out. Just start robocalling, except instead of the robot, it's you. Hello, Grandma. How are you today? Good, good. Say, do you listen to podcasts, Grandma? No? No, really? Oh, my goodness, Grandma. Here's what I need you to do. Something like that. I mean, you know, it's your grandma. I don't know. Otherwise, patreon.com/pack_daddy if you'd like to support the podcast. If you haven't spent all your money on toilet paper and facial sanitizers, then if you got anything left, it would be greatly appreciated. I think that's it. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, and we'll speed round this bad boy.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So as I'm sure you know, and by the way, I'm trying out the whole when things happen, I do live updates, thoughts, and opinions on Instagram. Just trying it out. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it, but I want to throw a little love to Instagram. I don't use that very often. So if you're interested in that, my Instagram is Packernet Podcast. So there you go. But the Packers made two moves, and there seems to be a little bit of confusion, but it seems like most people are starting to come to the realization of exactly what happened. Because as we found out, this is actually very, very simple. Now, I if you saw the Instagram post, I flipped out when I heard we signed Christian Kirksey to a two-year, $16 million deal. That's really not the full story. That's not exactly what the issue is. Here's essentially what happened. The Packers, here's what we learned. This is what the Packers always knew. We were just speculating, trying to figure stuff out, not really sure what was going on. We found out that the Packers always knew they had no intention of signing Blake Martinez. We knew that. And they had no intention of signing Brian Bulaga. We did not know that. And so the question is, what in the world are we going to do about this? And we were all speculating that as far as linebacker, they're going to go out and get a really good linebacker, whether that be Kwiatkowski, which is completely debatable whether or not he's a very good linebacker. A lot of people are telling you that he is. But again, Kwiatkowski is a guy that has a really good year. He has a really terrible year. He has a really good year. He has a really terrible year. And so people look at that really good year that he had last year and they flip out and say he's a great linebacker. That's not the full story. We didn't get Kwiatkowski. Then there's the other guy, Corey Littleton, who is the worst run-defending linebacker in the history of the universe that everyone is telling you is the best linebacker in the world. He's good, but and we may still get him, so I don't want to trash him too much. But just, you know, like everybody in free agency, slightly overhyped. But that was the theory, right? We got to get somebody even better than Blake because, you know, we're not going to get Blake. And then as far as tackle, we're either going to sign Brian Bulaga or we're going to have to, you know, go out and draft somebody. And the theories never really went beyond that. And shame on me for not having any other ideas as to how this could be handled, because there's very obvious, not really a solution, but a thing that kind of needed to be done or should be done that the Packers just did. What they did not do is upgrade anything. Not a single thing did they upgrade. What they did is they said, we are in a lot of trouble. The Packers recognize we can't pay Blake, we can't pay Bulaga, and now we're in trouble. Because if we trot out in 2020 with no tackle and no linebacker, we're doomed. We're done. We're toast. And we also don't want to have to go into the draft and say, we have to get a tackle and we have to get a linebacker and completely neglect everything else because we just, no matter what the situation, we have to reach on a tackle in the first round, probably a second round tackle. And then in the second round, we're going to have to maybe trade up to get a linebacker because if we don't solve these two problems, we're doomed. So the Christian Kirksey and Rick Wagner thing are just floors. This is just them saying we need to set some kind of a floor. And with Rick Wagner and Christian Kirksey, you're getting players that are not super great, but you don't feel like we're doomed. Christian Kirksey, I would say, I mean, look at that. At his best, he might be okay if you think we're going to get his best, which is probably you being optimistic. Rick Wagner, at his best, was never as good as Brian Bulaga. People saying that are wrong. It's incorrect. He's not as good as Brian Bulaga. But also, he is as old, more injury prone, and had his worst year ever last year. And again, same as Christian Kirksey, you can say, well, that's because he was injured. Well, he wasn't injured the whole year. That's number one. And number two, you don't really get credit for being injured. Same thing with Christian Kirksey. Well, he was good before he was injured the last 2 years. Like, did you just hear yourself say that? You want me to give him credit because he's played 9 games the last 2 years. I'm sorry, that's not how that works. You're saying if he wasn't beat up real bad and hardly played the last 2 years, he would have continued to be a mediocre player like he has been? So what I really want to do is we got to stop. And I know this is like we all get super psyched and like one person says a positive thing and then it just spreads like wildfire because we want to hear positive stuff. The idea that if Christian Kirksey's healthy, he's a great line. No, he's not. Somebody had sent me something on, I think it was Twitter, saying that he had heard from somewhere that when Christian Kirksey's on the field, he's the number 4 overall coverage linebacker. That's just a flat-out lie. He's one of the worst coverage linebackers in football. He's terrible. Terrible, 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 always has been. He can't do it. Physically cannot do it, even when completely healthy. He can't do it. Also, another rumor. Well, he was really good when he was with Petten. Not really. He was average for 4 years, and then terrible and hurt the last 2 years. So my goal isn't to try to trash these guys. We just got to be honest about what this is. And let's also be honest about what they're getting paid. If Christian Kirksey was getting paid $8 million, it would have been an absolute scandal. Turns out he's not, though. Our cap hit is about $4 million, and his guarantees are completely washed out. So if he performs really, really well, he gets some extra money because we're only going to pay him what he's worth. And right now, he's worth $4 million. You don't pay the 4th best coverage linebacker $4 million. I'm sorry, you just don't. He's getting paid $4 million because he's worth $4 million. Rick Wagner, by the way, is getting $4 million. And there's this whole thing about how Gutekunst complete, he's a wizard, he's a genius, right? Russ Ball's a wizard and a genius, and he fleeced these guys. Again, this is another effort by people to make it seem like we got these wizards over here who make money just magically disappear, right? So the idea is, and it's because you're reading it the wrong way. You're seeing it as Christian Kirksey got 2 years, $16 million deal, so it's $8 million deal per year, which is what he's worth, but we're only paying $4 million. Oh, it's just this magical thing. No. It's because you're reading it the wrong way. You're reading it backwards. You're seeing that we're paying him $8 million, he's worth $8 million, but the cap hit is $4 million, and because you don't really know how stuff works, it's like, whoa, magic. It's only $4 million. No, it's not magic. Look at it from the other direction. What is he worth? $3 to $4 million. We paid him $4 million, 4 point something, whatever. And then we layered incentives. So basically we're saying, look, we'll give you $4 million. If you don't be terrible, and if you can stay healthy, we'll give you some more money. And if you're actually good, maybe we'll continue letting you play next year. But at this point, probably not, because hopefully we will find somebody in the draft that can replace you. That was the deal that was offered to Christian Kirksey, and he accepted it. The 2 year $16 million deal is just fluff garbage. It means it's so loaded with incentives, he's never going to see any of that money. So that's we got to get that out of our heads. That's not the deal that he signed. He got how much did he actually get? I guess somebody was SpotTrack has him getting $5 million against the cap. It would be $4 million dead cap, $5 million cap hit. So that stinks a little bit more. But his signing bonus was $2 million, so that's $2 million in cash. And then he gets $1.75 million as a base salary. And then there's other stuff laced in. So we gave him $2 million to come here. We'll see what happens in terms of him being able to play, his availability, et cetera, et cetera. And he'll get more and more and more money the more he plays. But again, the point is, we didn't give him $8 million. We gave him two and promised him a bunch more if he can stay on the field, stay healthy, and do a relatively decent job of being a linebacker. So there's no wizardry. Same thing is true with Mr. Ricky Wagner. His cap hit is even lower. And again, Twitter is not naming names, but kind of like, how did this happen? How could you get a guy like Rick Wagner? Oh my goodness, 4.8 against the cap. His signing bonus, well, I guess it was 3.5 total spread out over 2 years. I probably got Kirksey's wrong also. I don't know. He got like four, didn't he? I don't know. I don't want to go back and look at it. But we gave him 3.5 cash. He gets 2.25 base salary and a bunch of other stuff mixed in. The thing we got to realize is these guys were paid appropriately. If they're upgrades, they would have gotten paid more. The point is, if we had more, we'd pay Bulaga, right? Blake Martinez just went to the Giants for a 3-year, $30 million deal. Now, I'm not saying he's worth that, but there's nobody on planet Earth. I shouldn't say that. There's nobody within the NFL circles of the 32 teams that would say Christian Kirksey is a better linebacker than Blake Martinez. He's not. Stop. You got to just understand what we're doing. This is setting the floor. This is the bottom. So now we can at least go out and play football, except guess what? Our team is worse right now. Brian Bulaga and Blake Martinez is a better combo in both positions than Christian Kirksey and Rick Wagner. Now, hopefully, we can go out and do more, whether that's through the draft, a little bit more in free agency, whatever, to build up this team. But the Packers have gone backwards. That's not really debatable. Now, technically, they didn't because those guys were free agents, so they weren't on the team, so we got better. But compared to 2019, this is a less good team right now. So they need to do some work. The other negative is that as of right now, according to SpotTrack, the Packers have $14 million. If that's true, we're basically out of money. So the idea that we're going to go out and sign Corey Littleton is silly town. According to Over the Cap, we have about $15 million. You got to understand, the Packers are expected to pay roughly $8.4 million to sign all their draft picks. It's going to cost $8.4 million. That leaves $6 million left over. That's not hardly even enough. Again, 8 to 10 is what you want going into the season. Supposedly, that's what I've heard from the folks and the peoples. So, you know, not stellar. At this point, looking at the draft, I don't know that offensive tackle isn't the biggest need. Because I don't know that you want Rick Wagner being your guy. I just don't know that. Now, again, the good thing is we've got Rick Wagner at the very least, so we don't have to reach. If there's really not a lot of good options at tackle, we'll take somebody else. But I don't really think they're going to, with Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard, as much as we all would like that to upgrade, I don't think that's quite as dire as Rick Wagner coming off an injury and a terrible, terrible season at right tackle trying to protect Aaron Rodgers. We also do not have a linebacker. I think tackle and linebacker are our biggest needs right now. And I definitely think the Packers are going to hold off. I'm not saying definitively the Packers aren't going to sign anyone else, but you know, it would help me feel a little bit better if they did something with the roster, whether that be a trade, give somebody up, just cut somebody off the roster, or an extension. Again, David Bakhtiari extension frees up possibly about $8 million. That would be helpful about now. I've heard zero rumblings about that happening, but crazy stuff has been going on. So anyways, again, want to do a speed round as best as I can, and I wasted a lot of time, but I want to emphasize that. The Packers got worse this year so far, but they needed to set that floor, and they just didn't have enough money to go out and spend and get better, and really there was nobody that you could get at tackle that was going to be an upgrade, because all the people are 30 to 38-year-old broke-down tackles, and I just don't want to pay that, and the Packers don't want to pay that. The only reason they even got Wagner, because getting rid of Bulaga is kind of a no-brainer. That's just what the Packers do. Problem is, we're doomed if we don't put somebody in there. So we were able to get a tackle that is capable, that's cheap, that we can afford. The other little tiny tidbit that I want to throw in here, this is the negative of being really active in free agency. And I'm not saying I regret it, But when you spend a bunch in free agency, next year you get to the point where you start to have to do things that you don't super like, and that's what we're doing this year. The only other thing I want to throw in there, the Packers are kind of working the compensatory picks for 2021. As of right now, the Packers are already in the mix for probably a fourth-round pick next year, thanks to Blake Martinez getting a monster contract. And the two guys we picked up do not count against the compensatory formula because they were cut from their team. So if and when Brian Bulaga goes out and signs it, we want him to sign a mega contract. I want him to go get $12, $13, $14, $70 million. I don't care. There's a good chance we may end up with 3 fourth-round picks when this is all said and done, when Brian Bulaga signs a contract. We'll have to see how it goes. Plus, other teams are going to be signing other players, so we might get bumped down. So as big as possible would be great. Not going to get a third-round pick. As of right now, that floor is set by Jack Conklin at $14 million. I don't think Bulaga gets that, but you never know. Anyways, let's move on. Let's do the bad news first. Here's the bad news. I don't think the Minnesota Vikings are doing anything bad. Now, I think they got worse, because in reality, a lot of the things that they've done are just keep the guys that they had. The only thing that's actually different about their team is that they lost Stephon Diggs, and that's a massive loss. I don't think anybody in the NFC North has had as big of a loss as Stephon Diggs. Packers did lose Bulaga and Blake, although there's other losses like that. I don't know. That's really big. However, the Kirk Cousins signing, everybody's laughing at him. I just, even Vikings fans are mad. I don't get it. Are we really all just going to pretend that Kirk Cousins wasn't one of the best quarterbacks in football last year? Because he was. And no, I'm not just talking about PFF, although PFF definitely says Kirk Cousins was the best NFC North quarterback. There are pretty much every metric that you go by, nobody says Kirk Cousins was a bad quarterback. He was easily one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He was probably, arguably, the best non-freakish, you know, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson quarterback in the NFL last year. Not only is he still locked up, but they just freed up a massive amount of money so that they could lay down a... So they went from being negative to being positive and being able to use... Why can't I think of what it's called? It's not called a salary cap. A tag. Yes, a tag on somebody that was almost assuredly going to be gone. And that's Mr. Anthony Harris, one of the more talented safeties in football. Again, the Vikings have one of the, it's the best safety group in all of football. And there were rumors Anthony Harris was gone, which would be ridiculous because he's one of the best safeties in football and he's young. And they said, nope, they tagged him. They have enough money because they freed up money from Kirk Cousins. Then they got rid of Diggs, and it's like, haha, guess what? They got a first-round pick out of that. A first and a fifth and a sixth and, like, an additional fourth after that. The Bills are dumb. The Bills are absolutely dumb for that. And so the Minnesota Vikings now have pick 22 and 25. I'm guessing because they have enough holes, they're not going to package those and trade up. That's always, like, the big fear. Like, oh, man, what if they package it and go up and get somebody that... I think the prudent move would be to stay. I suppose they could go up and get like a Jerry Jeudy. It's not impossible to replace Stephon Diggs, but they can stay, get a good wide receiver, and build on their offensive line. Plus, they got to build on their defense. They're still eroding, but the point is, I'm looking at what they did. I think they're coming out ahead. They're keeping Kirk Cousins, who is a phenomenal quarterback, and go ahead and try to find all the metrics you can that says he was one of the lesser quarterbacks. You cannot do it. Obviously, I'm just trying to be honest. You've heard me rail against and make fun of the Vikings and the Bears all offseason. The Bears are still, I'm excited to talk about the Bears because they're a joke. I'm looking at it and saying the Vikings are getting better. The Vikings are a better team if they keep Kirk Cousins as opposed to getting rid of him. I don't even see that as super. Now, you get rid of Diggs, how good is he? I don't know. I'm sure that's going to hurt. But again, they got a first-round pick. The guy's a cancer to that team. Look at how the whole team just started getting super negative. They got rid of that, and they got a massive bunch of picks. And you have to think one of those first-round picks is going to be a wide receiver. I mean, you don't have to. Again, they got a decent amount of needs. I'm not looking at the Vikings and going, ha-ha, you guys are terrible now. No, I think they're in pretty good shape. Now, they have about $14 million left as well, according to SpotTrack. So I tend to think, similar to the Packers, they're probably done unless there's more moves to be made. Which is one of the really big negatives about the Stephon Diggs trade is that they got hit $9 million. That was an expensive cap hit. So they've got a ton of dead cap, $17.7 million in dead money. So that's going to be beneficial in terms of at least with all the extra firepower of a first-round pick and whatnot, they don't have the opportunity to go out and sign other people. That $9 million cap hit is holding that back a little bit. That's the only other real positive. Man, I got to hurry up. I'm not even going to get through anything but the NFC North. The Lions are kind of just in free fall. They lost their guard, Glasgow, to the Denver Broncos, I believe. They lost Wagner to the Packers. Now, they did go out and make a bunch of pretty big signings. I just don't really trust their ability to do anything. They went out and got Trey Flowers. I mean, their head coach just is acting like somebody who has no idea what he's doing. He just keeps signing Patriots players. Like, I don't know how to assess other players. I don't know how to coach up guys. So I'm just going to poach Patriot players and hope that they can just keep doing what they did with Bill Belichick. Like, was that a good defense because of you, because you're a great coach, and because you know how to make these guys do certain things? Or was that all Bill Belichick and you were just along for the ride? Because you keep signing guys from the Patriots as though you just want to build a Patriots team and hope that everything just transfers over. They went out and got Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers was nowhere near as effective as he was with the Patriots. They just did it again. They signed Jamie Collins, linebacker. Fact of the matter is, Jamie Collins, I mean, he had a decent enough year last year, but he hasn't been all that great for quite some time. He's 30 years old. Now, the one way to view this, when he was with New England, he was fine. So he was with New England 2013, 14, 15. He was a very good linebacker. He was with, well, New Cleveland half the year in 2016. But 2016, 17, 18, he was pretty terrible. Then he went back to New England. He was good again. He was in the 70s, was his grade. So obviously he's better with New England. New England knows how to utilize him a little bit better. But even then, if you break down week by week, weeks 1 through 6, he had one bad game. He had one good game. He had four elite games. That's 1 through 6. Week 7 through the wild card, one good game. Everything else was average or worse. Several 50s, 40s, and a 20. So he had a spurt of being amazing and then a bunch of just mediocre to ineffective the entire second half of the year. Averaged out to be good, but for the most part, he just wasn't. He just had some freakishly good game. And now he's going to Detroit, and again, you've got a coach that seemingly doesn't know really how to coach and is just hoping he can drag Patriots players over and get some of that magic. I just don't think it's going to happen. And let's remember, they went out and spent a high second-round pick on a linebacker last year, and it's supposed to be this, oh, no, it's a really good pick. He's a blah, 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 blah. Really? Because the next free agency, you go out and sign a linebacker. And this is a three-year, $30 million a year deal, which is same as Blake. It's $10 million per year. I don't know the structure. I don't super care. It's a lot of money for a 30-year-old guy that you're hoping can relive a little bit of that Patriot magic. Except he's with you now, and he's with the Lions now, so, you know, whatever. Now, on the other hand, they did replace Rick Wagner, so they've got a decent chunk of change. They're like, all right, we'll let Wagner walk, whatever, however you want to wag the walk. And they went out and maybe upgraded, you could argue. They went out and got Halapaluvatiwaitai from the Philadelphia Eagles. He is 26, so that's good. He's kind of the anti-Rick Wagner in that he's young and he just kind of had his first breakout year. Now, it wasn't an elite year, but this is kind of what the Packers did with some of their pass rushers. So maybe this is a decent enough move. They may have upgraded at right tackle. That's not a guarantee. I would say this last year, Halapaluvatiwaitai was about at the level that Rick Wagner usually is, aside from this past year when Wagner had a terrible year. Now, that just depends. Is Wagner going to get back to what he was, or is this kind of like a Jimmy Graham thing where it's like, maybe that was just a down year and he'll get back to it? And unfortunately, this is just who I am now. I'm not very good. And then for Vitae, was that kind of a flukish thing, or is this just what he's going to be from now on? Because 2018, he was terrible. 2017 was the only time he actually played about an entire season, which is 1,000 or so snaps. He graded out as a 59, which is below average. So if I had to guess, they didn't necessarily improve. However, they kind of got a 26-year-old version of Rick Wagner. Hopefully, at best, he's just a younger version of Rick Wagner. I cannot do it. That's at least what the Detroit Lions are hoping for. And they gave him a 5-year, $50 million a year. So again, $10 million a year. Don't know the exact structure, but that's the average. So Detroit is trying to improve, but they're going backwards. They have just lost so much talent, and they brought in, again, basically somebody that's as good as the guy they had at tackle, and they're bringing in a linebacker that they hope can be a huge upgrade. I'm pretty skeptical about that. Man, we're not going to get through much. The Chicago Bears and their signings. A lot of rumors about them going out and wanting to be real aggressive with quarterbacks, and it just keeps changing every second, right? They're real close to getting a deal with Teddy Bridgewater. 5 minutes later, they're out on Bridgewater. They don't want Bridgewater. What they want is Andy Dalton. I don't know. They want Nick Foles. I don't think they're going to get – they're not going to trade Nick Foles, so it's not Nick Foles. It's got to be Andy Dalton. They don't want Andy Dalton. Yes, they do want Andy. It's crazy out there. Eventually, I tend to believe they are going to get a quarterback. He's not going to be good. He'll probably be marginally better than Trubisky, though, so whatever. What they did do is they signed Danny Trevathan, which, you know, whatever. 3-year, $21 million deal. I don't think that's terrible. Again, I don't know the structure, but, you know, $7 million a year. Danny Trevathan is not great, but he's a decent kind of core piece of the defense, right? It's one of those guys that you don't super love him on your team, but you definitely worry about losing him from your team, that kind of thing. But the real big news, I love Pace. Again, I don't mind him as far as his ability to draft. He just hates drafting. He loves free agency, and he's terrible at it. Everybody he signs is garbage. And they decided to go out and give a 2-year deal worth $16 million, which is $8 million a year, depending on structure again, to Mr. Jimmy Graham. Now, I don't know the breakdown of that. I wanted to look it up to see. The funny thing is, though, so the Seahawks took a flyer, right? The Seahawks are like, all right, we want Jimmy Graham. Actually, they didn't really take a flyer. They went all in because they expected Jimmy Graham to be the same guy he was with the Saints. He definitely took a step back, but he was still dominant in the red zone, right? That was his thing. He was a touchdown dominant player. Then the Packers are like, all right, we want some of that magic. We want a little bit of that. I know he's not the same guy, but we might be able to spark a little bit of that because we got a, although I don't know that he's much different of a quarterback than Russell Wilson, but maybe we can get back to that a little bit. But at the very least, dude, we got another 10 touchdown guy for sure. So we paid him. Turns out Jimmy Graham just done, right? The batteries had completely run out. We can't get this thing to turn over. You know, just it's just not happening. So we realized it. We gave up. We dumped him. The Bears now, experiment's over. It's done. We've figured out Jimmy Graham. We have run him into the ground. We've finished this experiment. He had a good run. The Packers paid the price for the rest of the league. The Packers paid the money to run him down to zero. And now the rest of the league is saying, thank you, Green Bay, for proving to us that he's done so we don't make that same mistake that you did. And the Packers are going, yeah, darn, you know, we took a chance, but, you know, and Russell Lee's like, yeah, I understand, you know, it makes sense. And the Bears, who apparently are just not having any of this, are like, you know what? I bet he's not done. I think the Packers are just terrible. Not just Matt LaFleur, but Mike McCarthy also. Neither of these guys know how to use tight ends. And Aaron Rodgers is just a terrible quarterback. But if we bring Jimmy to Chicago and we pair him up with Mitch Trubisky, I don't know, man. I mean, I kind of wonder. I'm just saying. Maybe there's a little magic here. And so with the entire league in agreement, with everybody in NFL fandom in complete agreement around the world, from Brazil to Japan to China to Norway, everybody, Nigeria, they're watching and they're saying, okay, we get it. We get it. He's done. He's going to go off and fly airplanes. He's going to literally fly off into the sunset. And good for him. He had a great career. The Bears swoop in and offer him a 2-year deal, $8 million a year. I love Ryan Pace with a passion. I mean, I'll be honest. It's borderline romantic. It's bordering on a romantic love. I'm just going to be honest. It's pretty intense. It is pretty intense, the deep passion that I have for the Bears GM. I know the president is busy right now, but if he has a little bit of time, if he wants to offer up the Medal of Freedom or, you know, some kind of medal to Ryan Pace, I would appreciate it. I would sign off on it as a Packers fan. And again, the Bears were doing decent as far as their salary cap. They had enough money, you know, $17 million. They could do something. They got a little something they can do. And they spent it on Jimmy Graham. Even if it's similar to the Kirksey thing where it ends up only being $4 million. Well, now you're down to 13. You're with the Bears and you're with the Vikings. We're all in the $13 million club. Welcome to the party, Chicago. What did you get? I mean, none of those three teams are coming away pretty. Everybody's kind of beaten up and bloody. The NFC North in general you know, again, the Vikings, I like their moves, but they're coming to the party with $13 million saying, I retained a couple of my guys and we lost Dig. And the Packers are going, yeah, we stopped the bleeding, but it's pretty rough. We're right now we got Kirksey and Wagner. I'm like, oh, that's rough. Lions, how you guys doing? Well, we lost Wagner, we lost Glasgow, but we got Vitae, so we're feeling good about that. Oh yeah, you know, it's decent. Oh no, yeah, I know. And we got Jamie Collins. We're hoping to get a little spark there. Yeah, no, understandable. He's 30. He's probably got a little bit in the tank. Yeah, 30, a little in the tank. Plus, we got $48 million left over, so which might not be the case. I don't think any of those last two things are included in here, which means if, let's just be generous and say they're getting only $6 million of the 10, which it's probably going to be closer to 8, but let's just say $12 million less, they still have 36. If it's the full 10, they still have 28. So they got a bunch of money left over. They can do some magical things. But again, coming to the table, where are we at? We lost some good players. We got a couple. Did we get better? I mean, the answer is no. You know, would you give up, especially if you look at like Quandre Diggs from last year, you lost your guard, who's a talented guard, and he's relatively young. You lost your longtime right tackle, which maybe you replaced him, and then you added a 30-year-old line. It's just, it doesn't feel good. So they're coming to it like, you know, it's rough out there. The Bears come to the table with Jimmy Graham. We got one big move. We come with Jimmy. Just, oh my goodness. I mean, they're the only team that may have added a player and got worse. I'm not talking about, you know, the Packers added players and got worse, but I'm talking about you'd be better off if you just didn't have them. The Packers would not be better off without Kirksey and Wagner right now. I'm probably overstating it, but it feels good to just rub it right in the face. So I'm going to do that. So pretty wild out there. Anyways, as expected, I didn't even get out of the NFC North. We don't even have time right now. I don't have time for a second break. I got to get going. So it'll be a one breaker. Just looking at the NFC North today. I don't exactly know the plan now. Try to talk about the rest tomorrow, depending on how much more NFC North news there is. Again, I didn't really see this strategy coming, so I can't say definitively we're done. I don't know what else is happening. There's a couple little things that we can do. My overall assessment is that unless they do something as far as getting rid of players that are currently under contract and or extending players, we're kind of capped out. We're basically out of money. Somewhere between $13 and $15 million left over. Again, the draft picks, if we sign them all, about $8 million, we're done. Meaning the only way we don't get worse is if we really nail this draft. So we'll see how it goes. And again, I don't think any team necessarily actually got better. Maybe the Detroit Lions. But I think the Vikings have made the best moves and are in the best position to do the best things. They still lost a bunch of talent because their salary cap was a nightmare. But, you know, extending Kirk Cousins freed up some money so that they could at least keep one of their guys. And they've got an additional first, which puts them, again, in a position to improve the most. So the two best teams primed to improve would be the Lions, who still have a bunch of money, and the Vikings. The Packers have a late first, no real extra picks until later, and no more money. So, there you go. But last year, it was the Packers and the Lions that had the best opportunity to do stuff, and the Vikings were still a pretty decent team, despite having no real ability to improve their team. So it doesn't mean we're doomed. It just, you know, nothing flashy happened, that's all. We just filled some holes, and when you consider value, I think it was actually pretty solid value. And I think that was the reason for the panic. The Packers were legitimately worried about the tackle and linebacker situation. Legitimately. And I still think they're going to hit it real hard. And again, that's part of the reason why I think tackle and linebacker is the biggest need going forward. They didn't panic buy a wide receiver. They panic bought tackle and linebacker. And they knew if we don't lock these guys up, which is great deals, $4 million apiece, we're in a lot of trouble because we can't afford some of these big money guys. We don't like a lot of these other guys that are going to be, you know, as cheap. So they just, and again, supposedly they're in on you know, Kwiatkowski and Corey Littleton. They didn't even wait until the free agency tampering period opened. They didn't even bother to pick up the phone and call and see what Littleton was going to cost. They didn't even bother. They paid Kirksey on the spot. Just boom. I don't even want to hear what Littleton wants. I don't care. Not interested. We want Kirksey done. Because it's all we can afford. That's the bottom line. Anyways, done rambling. You folks have yourselves a fantastic Tuesday. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.